collection of teachings from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, collected from the various chalakim of the Lubavitcher Rebbe Sichos, from different mamarim, from different years. But it's very concise and very clear. So I thought we would do a piece that's relevant to the Bein HaMetzar. Also want to thank Corey's parents, Hedy and Jay Richmond, for sponsoring tonight. Lilo Nishmas,
Avram Ben
Moshe. It's your grandfather.
Yeah.
Shama should have a tremendous aliyah.
Amen.
Okay, so the pages, you can see the pages go from, we're starting on the page that has two pages, on page Resh Mem Hei, which is the left side. It says Shabbos Chazon on top. Again, I'm sorry, the print is a little small. If anyone wants to sponsor the photocopying each week, we could sign you up for that as well. Okay, so he shares a famous mashal from Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. And then the Rebbe, Kedarko B'Kodesh, in the way of Chabad, to always analyze even a story, to analyze even a parable, he analyzes this mashal. Now again, Shabbos Chazon is still a few weeks away, and by Shabbos Chazon we hope to be in Yerushalayim Mir HaKodesh, and we hope to see the Gula Shleima. Mashiach, we spoke about last week, but so why are we focusing on Shabbos Chazon? So you'll see, in Rav Levi Yitzchak's mashal, he tells us how on that Shabbos that precedes Tisha B'Av, or this year coincides with Tisha B'Av, how we're supposed to understand the name of the Shabbos, Shabbos Chazon. But I feel like, why wait till Shabbos Chazon to wake up on Tisha B'Av this year, as we were makabel to fast the Tanis Nidcha this year on the Sunday after? Why not have a sense of where we're going and try to do something about it? Meirosh. Okay, so here's the mashal of the Berdichever. It is brought in many different collections and writings of the Berdichever. He brings it here. He brings it from a kuntris, from a small journal, or a pamphlet, he says, from Rav Hillel Paracher. Rav Hillel Paracher was an early chassid of the Baal HaTanya, the founder of Chabad Lubavitch Chassidus. And he writes as follows. Matzinu bebichol drushe ha-chassid Rav Hillel me Parach. Right? Commonly known as Rav Hillel Paracher. He was a great darshan. He was a great tzaddik in his own right. He considered himself a chassid of the Baal HaTanya, even though he never met the Baal HaTanya. Okay, you can see he passed away in 1864. So he brings, in this little journal, in this little kuntris, he brings a mashal from the Berdichever about Shabbos Chazon. Inyan Shabbos Chazon. Shamati me'abi mori, olav ha'shalom, shesiper b'shem harav, you see in brackets, Rav Levi Yitzchak mi Berdichev. Nun beiz gimel mem. Anyone? Rashi Tevos? Nun beiz gimel mem? Nishmaso beginze merome. Right? He's no longer with us. So the Heiliger Berdichever, whose neshama is on high, gave the following mashal. And again, it gives us the right perspective for the entire Bein HaMetzar. He said, Ve'ez hayosa b'Shabbos, he mentions a particular Shabbos, he spent the Shabbos in a particular kehila, not familiar again with the name of that kehila. Amar mashal alzeh, me'av sheyesh lo ben yakar. Imagine a father who has a beloved son. Now you'll see the mashal is very simple, but what's amazing is how the Lubavitcher Rebbe analyzes the mashal. Ki'ilu, it's the most precise thing ever spoken, and it's Torah Misinai. Because the mashal of the tzaddikim are precise. So why did he use this example as opposed to that example? Again, the mashal is going to sound very generic, but you'll see there's a lot to be medayik in. So the mashal again is of a father who has a precious son. And he decides to make a beautiful baguette, a beautiful suit, a garment for his son, Lis Lavishbo. Umitzad shalo nizhar ben ba'oso baguette, va'oso ma'isa m'sher lo yasu. The child, being a child, went ahead and did what children do. He's not careful with this new garment. You know, Iman Abba give him a nice new suit, and they tell him, be so careful, no tackle football on Shabbos in your new suit. You know, no, what's that little hockey game they play on their knees in the basements?
Mini
hockey. No mini hockey, right? You'll wear out the knees of your new suit. No, the child being a child, what does he do? He acts like a child. And he comes back, the first Shabbos, he comes back Shabbos afternoon, and the garment is ripped to shreds. So what does a parent do, like any good parent, an understanding parent? He's just a kid. No, kids make silly mistakes. V'asalo pam sheni levush v'karagam kein. So the parents go and they get another suit and it's custom made and it's so beautiful. And they warn him, please be careful, treat it right. And of course he goes and he damages the suit again. Now here's the chiddush of the mashal. Ma'asa av, so what did the father do? Asalo levush lishi. The parent, the father went ahead and made a third garment. V'lo nasalo levush aso ra ganza. The parents put it in a closet. They don't allow the child to wear it. The child's begging, please give me a chance to wear it. And the parents say, no, you're not ready for it. Ulefrakim rechokim yiduim maralo halavush. At periods throughout the year, at distant periods throughout the year, the parents allow the child to see the lavush, just to catch a glimpse of it. Va'omer lo re'ei. If you act the way that we want you to act, the way that we believe you can act, if you act like a Ben Torah, if you act with Midos Tovos, if you act like a mature young man, then we'll let you wear the suit. But until you're ready to act that way, the suit's staying in the closet. By allowing him to see the suit but not have the suit, he realizes that there really are repercussions for his actions, and slowly, slowly he starts to walk the Derech HaYashar. So the parents have the confidence in him, that he's not just faking it anymore, he's truly matured. The child is ready to wear the suit and wear it properly. Then the parents are no longer worried, he's going to go back to his old ways. Now it's become second nature for him, and he knows to treat the suit properly. So says the Berdichever, this is why Shabbos Chazon is called Shabbos Chazon. This is why the Shabbos, right before we come to Tisha B'Av, is called the Shabbos of Chazon. Obviously, the Pashat Pshat and Chazon is the Haftorah, right? Is the Nebuah, is the vision of Yishael. So he says, Zeh inyan Shabbos Chazon, Lashon Machzeh, Shemarin, right? Chazon means a vision, to see something. Namely, in our Mashal, Shemarin l'kol echad ve'echad ha'mikdash shel asim merachok. On Shabbos Chazon, we see the third base of Mikdash, which is in place, so to speak, at a distance, and it's just a matter of time until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us when we're ready to act the way that we're supposed to act. That's the mashal of the Berdichever. Okay, it's a nice mashal. But says Lubavitch Rebbe, let's try to understand the mashal a little bit more in depth. Let's try to be a little critical in our understanding of the mashal. He says, Yesh la'ayin, the bottom of the first column. Yesh la'ayin betam shamarin ha-mikdash shel asir b'shabes chazon daf. Why does Hashem dafka want us to, so to speak, catch a glimpse of the Mikdash on Shabbos Chazon? When's a better time to see it?
Shabbos Gadol.
When?
Shabbos Gadol, Shabbos Nachum.
Okay, so the Rebbe says, what about Shabbos Nachum? Let's take Shabbos Nachum. Meaning Shabbos Nachum, now you already want to know that the Mikdash exists. You want to know that eventually we're going to get the Mikdash. We want to have a Nechama after all the hardship. Right? Shabbos Chazon is in the depths of the difficulty, in the depths of the Galus. So why are we taking out the Mikdash to see the Mikdash then?
Because then you know what your fast is.
Okay, so let's see. Right, so that's the obvious answer, but let's see how he develops it. Maybe it would be more appropriate to show us Shabbos Nachum. Alright, so Moshe says, what do you mean? It's Pashut. If you want to, the whole point of having the fast is to work towards getting it. And if I see it, I'll strive for it. Okay, but let's see what he says. Maybe Shabbos Nachamu is the time where we need to be reminded of the mitzias, that the mikdash exists, that the suit is hanging in the closet, that the possibility of the suit is a reality. Bizman din achamasa al paranusa shel achorban, when we're healing, that's the time to say, look, don't worry, there's going to be, you'll wear the suit again. Don't feel bad that you ruined it the last two times. Ulefi pshuto atamu ki kol kavaras chazon zeh he kedei shenati b'starchenu. Right, so the Pashup Shad, exactly what was suggested, is that the whole reason that we're supposed to look at it is exactly like the Mashal told us, that the child sees it, and the child says, you know what, I really want that suit, and I know my parents are only going to give it to me if I truly change my ways. So by looking at the suit, Ayadeza Metakni Mesachorban. Right, as he says here in the parentheses, Ketochan HaMashal, that's exactly what the Mashal said. That by seeing the Levush, it's Me'oreres HaSaben Lelechas B'derech HaYashar. It awakens the child to walk the proper path. But Lachin HaZman HaMatim LeZehu Dafka Ve'ez Poranusa Kishon HuZochem HaSchorban HaBayis. Right, so obviously at the height of the Poranus, we want to remind ourselves that we can fix, we should believe that we have the ability to fix, we should feel aroused to want to fix, and to channel that towards actually fixing and getting the suit, getting the base of Mikdash. Aval yesh lomar shetam yosar amk ikakan. But he wants to go deeper. Again, you have to believe that the mashalim of the tzaddikim, that the Berdichever, right, thought about his mashal. He wasn't just a cutesy mashal to explain something very simplistic. That we had a base of Mikdash and we ruined it, we had a second base of Mikdash and we ruined it, now there's going to be a third base of Mikdash when we act proper. There's got to be more to... The Berdichever was trying to say something we didn't understand simplistically and obviously, by saying the mashal. So what's the deeper dimension of the mashal? So the Rebbe quotes, Bava Trevi, so Chusur again Aleinu, quotes from a Kedusha Slevi in Megillah Secha. He says, in the second paragraph of the left column, the Kedusha Slevi says the following, HaKlav, Zesha Hashem Yisbarach Hichrim is based Tifarto, V'anachnu Begalus. Ask yourself a simple question, why are we in Galus? HaKol Hu Bevadei Tov El Yisrael. One of the hardest things to answer and to explain, meaning as Jews we want to start off with the premise that everything God does is good. Good doesn't always mean fun. Good doesn't always mean pleasant. When a doctor removes a dangerous tumor from someone's body, right, so that the person can be healthy again, that's not a pleasant experience, it's not a fun experience, it's a frightening experience, but it's objectively good. The doctor who's cutting the person open is doing a good thing for that person. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also sometimes has to punish us for the greater good. But it's always to move us towards good. It's never to hurt us, it's never to harm us, it's never with... Even though, again, as someone likes to always point out to me, the God of the Bible seems to be an angry dude. Right? He seems to be a very vengeful and angry God. But Lamaisa, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world because it's the way, like it says in Kisvei Arizal, another psalm, right? it's the way of one who is truly tov to want to share that goodness with others. It's the derech ha-tov, like it says in Derech Hashem from the Ramchal. It's the derech of the one who's tov, lahativ, to want to share that goodness with others. So Hashem didn't create the world because he likes torturing us, or he likes punishing us. He's not a vengeful God in that way. Even though, again, a superficial reading of certain psukim will say such a thing. So therefore, even the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, even Galus itself, has to be good. Now, when you're in the Galus, it doesn't feel so good. Right? When you read the Sfarim, they talk about that everything that's broken in the world today is really rooted in Chorban Beis HaMikdash. When that broke, everything broke, with the exception of maybe Torah and maybe Shabbos. Those are sort of things that still have an element of Shlemus, a certain fullness and perfection to it. But everything else in the world is broken. So your flat tire that you got on the way home from work today is because of Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Right? And the lack of Shalom Bayis that you had last week was because of Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And the fact that, you know, whatever you spoke Lashon Hara is because of Chorban, everything that you're doing wrong is somehow rooted in Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And yet, when everything Hashem does is good, and everything that happens in the world is for the greater good, so it must be that somehow even Chorban Beis HaMikdash and Galus itself is good. How is that so? He said, because Hashem in His Rachmanis is tearing down a lesser building to build a more beautiful building in its place. That's the only way to justify it. Right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ripping down a building. The Halacha tells us this. The Rama writes in Or HaChaim Siman Kufman Beis. Let's say you want to break down a shul to make a better shul, right? So you're not allowed to destroy a shul. So the Halacha says that's not called destroying a shul. Well, you need a bigger women's section. Okay.
Better sidelines.
Right. So you'll vote on it, and you'll finally come to a conclusion. And then when you're ready to build it, right, you're going to have to take apart a shul. Well, right, you have to take apart a shul, to destroy it. To mamish destroy a shul. The answer is that a person who is sosa amanas livnos, amakum kadosh, that's called binyan. Right? There's a lashon for the Mordechai and Megillah, Maseches Megillah, and Perek Dalet. It says that hahi netitza binyan mikri. Right? This breaking is called building. Not everything that's breaking is called building. The mashal in this week's parasha. You talk about Pinchas' reward. Right, so you look at Pinchas and he's given a bris kahuna and he's given a bris shalom for such an angry act, seemingly angry act, such a violent, murderous act. Right? And the Sfarim say yes, you can have a person who looks like he's committing murder, but it's really an act of chesed. What he was doing was saving Klal Yisrael. He stopped a magefa. Right? And Hashem says, look, it's chesed. That's why you're going to become a kohen. A kohen is a midah of chesed. And you're going to be given a bris shalom because shalom is rooted in chesed. It's something positive. At the same time, you can have someone, right, like Zimri, who thought he was doing a maisa chesed. Again, as far as I'm talking about what his cheshbon was, the previous of Torah. He thought he was doing a great thing, and it was mamash achorba. So just the way that something appears superficially is not always the way that it is. So Hashem says to the Rebbe, ripped down the second base of Mikdash, but that was Kulo Binyan. This whole Galus, as long as it's been, I think we mentioned last week from Rav Shlomo Karlbach, that funny thing that I saw in that Sefer, that Rav Shlomo said, if a person wants to build a bungalow, Right? So it only costs, you know, X amount of dollars, and it's built out of very simplistic wood, and that's it. You know, it takes a short period of time, it's not a great expense, and you get what you pay for. Person wants to build a house, so that takes a little bit more. Right? A little more money, a little more time. Person wants to build a World Trade Center, so that much more. So Shlomo Karlach said, can you imagine what a Kodesh Baruch Hu must be building these last 2,000 years? Kodesh Baruch Hu, the greatest architect, right, taking a really long time, despite all of his resources, to build this. It's going to be unbelievable. So even though it appears like there's so much chorm and there's so much darkness now, says the Rebbe, quoting from the Kedushas Levi, Kol and Estarim, that Vigala Kol and Estarim, all of this Hester, all of this Horban, all of this darkness is going to be revealed to be what? Kol Hu Tovali Yisrael. It's really all good. And these days, these 21 dark days are going to become 21 illuminated days. Right? The 3 weeks correspond, the 21 days of the 3 weeks correspond to the 21 days, different ways of calculating. Some Sfarim say it's the 21 days from the beginning of Tishrei through Zman Simchaseinu, through Sukkot. Some say you take the Gimel Regalim, each one really being made up of 7 days, even though Shavuos is only a day or two, right? But we know from the Gemara that in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, you had a whole week to bring Karbanos. So it corresponds to the Gimel Regalim. Right? The way Sefer Chassidus say, it's like a person who wants to paint a beautiful painting. So first you paint the background entirely black. And then when you put the vibrant colors on top, they really shine. So Kodesh Baruch Hu right now is painting a very dark background. When eventually these days, like Navi says in Zechariah, are going to be turned into this. All the fast days are going to become Yom Tovim, they're going to become Moadim for Klal Yisrael. Yeah, Rabbi Yitzi.
Let's say going before the Shlomo story, which makes it more positive, let's say.
Right.
Is that just during the 3 weeks, or that's in general when things aren't...
So it's definitely in general. Again, the premise of Hashem's Hanhaga in the world, according to Sefer Machshava and Chassidus and Kabbalah, is that Hashem only knows how to do good. Hashem only knows how to do good.
But the thing is, like, doesn't it kind of hurt the way that we think of things with Derech HaTeva if we have this ultimately? It's almost like this whammy that's there that, like, okay, you know, maybe it was really bad, but you know, we did lose Beis Hamikdash, and ultimately the better Beis Hamikdash. Like, I feel like we believe there's some checks and balances within the way we do things. We don't understand everything, and there's tzaddikim, and we don't know, and Hashem lives. It seems like a
right.
Good way, but overall, like, there's some, you know, way that we think that we act better and it'll improve our lives, and you know, the more, you know, closer comes to Hashem as opposed to, you can always just tell you, like, you may think it, but it'll wake up, you'll get it later, or you're making up for the errors that were done way back in business vision.
So what are you saying? You're saying that a person might be complacent,
yeah,
because everything's good,
yeah,
so
either way, yeah.
I don't need to...
Yeah, or it becomes harder than if there's
right.
Always this other factor you take control of, let's say, making up for punishment
right.
For things that happened a long time ago, or...
Right, so you're touching on a very delicate thing in terms of Bechira and a Kadosh Baruch Hu's idea. Meaning, the deepest Svarim will tell you that as much as Bechira is our perception of reality, there is a higher Metzius that Hashem controls everything. Again, that's the question the Rambam leaves on the table in the fifth parak of Hilchos Tshuva, and the Ravid gets angry at him for saying, why would you even bring that up? You're just going to confuse people by saying God knows everything, but you have free will. And we don't understand that, so, you know, good luck with that. So the Ravid says to the Rambam, well, don't talk about it. Don't make people think about how could Hashem knows the end of my life. Hashem knows every detail of my life. Hashem knows every mitzvah I'm going to do, every word of Torah I'm going to learn, every chesed I'm going to do. And yet, I'm still deciding it as it's unfolding. So you could go out of your mind thinking about that. And the Rambam says you might, so good luck with that. And the Ravid says, well, then let's not talk about it and get people all caught up in that. Let's just try to focus on that lower level of I have Bechira, and I have to make good choices, and I have to help Hashem be metaki in the world. But, again, in the language of Chassidus, there is a higher reality that Hashem is always going to be pushing the world towards good. So you decide, you know, Waze is telling you take this road. You decide I'm going to be a big shot, I'm going to get off here, because I know a back road that's better. Right? Well, so does everyone else, and now you're sitting in traffic and it just added 45 minutes to your trip. Right? Now at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will recalculate and will get you back on track. And in the end, it will always make sense. And that thing that seemed to be a setback will definitely fit in. You'll say, you know what? It was Latov. In the moment, you may not feel that way. Just like in the Gullus, we don't always feel that this makes sense. Right? We don't have the answers. But Ani Mam Bemuna Shleima, that we will not be left with any questions at the end of the day. I don't think there will be a single question left on the table in Mashiach Chavos. I'll tell you my proof. I always give the same proof. You look in Bereishis Parchaf Aleph. Hashem comes to Avram and says, Ki be Yitzchak Yikar Lecha Zar. Yitzchak is going to be the future. Okay, Shkoyach, Rabban Hashem, thank you. That's great. And I waited a long time for Yitzchak. Parchaf Beis, go kill him. No, Avram being the loyal servant that he is, I ask him Avram Baboker, and he goes to do what he's told to do, the ultimate test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then calls it off. It's then, as the Mefarshim point out, the Divrei David, which is the Taz on Shulchan Aruch's commentary on Rashi, the super commentary on Rashi. So he says, why? He says, Rashi, now all of a sudden it says, now Avram asked the question. Why didn't Avram ask the steer earlier? Why did Avram say, on the way to Lakedah, why did Avram say, you know, God, you just told me in Parachaf Aleph, Yitzchak's my future. Now you told me to kill him. Can't have both. So the Divrei David praises Avram. You see that even right? It's Dafke afterwards that Hashem says, that the Midrashim say that Avram then says, now that it's all over, now, you know, now we can talk. B'shas Ma'isa, Jew's got to do what he's got to do. So Avram went and he did. Now that it's over, I want to ask you, God, by the way, how do you explain Bereishis Chaf Aleph versus Bereishis Chaf Beis? Right? The word, meaning, you changed your mind? So Hashem says, I didn't change my mind. That the exact two things I told you came true. I told you Yitzchak's going to be your future. And I told you what? Ha'aleihu sham la'ola. Bring him up the mountain. Good, you brought him up, now bring him down. And all of a sudden, Avram says, ah! What's amazing is, a second earlier, it was a complete contradiction. Meaning, Avram said, there's not that many sides here. Yitzchak is going to live and he's my future, or Yitzchak's going to die and he's not my future. There's no way to answer that question. And then a second later, Hashem says, the answer is actually very pashut. And Avram says, wow, that makes perfect sense. Animam b'muna shlema, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, it's a shtickle radical, but it's really not. Animam b'muna shlema, that when the time comes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to answer the Holocaust, and the pogroms, and every personal tzara that we've all experienced, like that, and we're going to feel as silly as Avram, who didn't chop, oh, halei shalol, it just meant bring him up the mountain, oh, bring him down. Right now we feel, rightfully so, there's no answer for the Holocaust. Whatever you're going to say, Hashem, I know myself. I'm so nauseated by an image of a Nazi taking a Jewish baby and smashing its head into a rock and killing it. Right? I'm so petrified of the stories. There's nothing you could say, Hashem, to explain it. So you'll try. Hashem's going to get up. He's going to give a big drasha. The terrorists to the Holocaust. Mashiach's going to come and Hashem's going to get up. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chvodu V'atzo, or Mashiach, or Eliyahu, someone's going to get up and say, okay, you waited patiently, here's the answer to the Holocaust. Right? And people are going to be like, not bad, but like, no. Like, still 6 million Jews, a million children, like, still not justified. Right? So we're going to say, like, okay, like, it's like a good svara, like, in theory, but it doesn't make me feel better. Animam b'muna shlema, that when Hashem answers the Holocaust, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. That all the pain of it's going to totally disappear, it's going to make perfect sense, and it's going to have been worth it. In some crazy way. The same way that Hashem answered Avraham about an impossible stira, and all of a sudden, oh, it's a davar pashut. All of a sudden, the impossible was resolved with such simplicity. I think that's how it's going to work. So I think, Yitzi, I think you're right that we can't be on autopilot and say, well, if Hashem is really driving, because Hashem has this higher knowledge, so then I just, you know, I sit back and just wait for things to unfold. I have to operate within a reality of a bus or a dove in a world where I'm given bechira and I have to make good choices. And I have to try to not take a roundabout route. Hashem will eventually redirect us to get us back on track. But we have to try to give Yachal help Hashem to make it easier.
Yes, Rumar, say good.
Well, I think like sort of like what Yitzi's saying, but like and what the Rav is saying, the you know, how you view the bechira and you know, oh, I know Hashem knows what's going to happen tomorrow, so I don't have to fear it. That's only assuming that you view time as a linear sequence that we have to view time because we are in time.
Right.
Because Rome's not in time.
Right.
It's like, you know, the world is this, you know, from one line to another, and Hashem is just like sitting here, just like
right.
watching the line. And he sees everything, and he knows that, like, what's going to happen on that point of the line, on that point of the line.
Mm-hmm.
But he has no... I mean, he can influence if he chooses to, but there is a figure that he doesn't necessarily need to or does always influence. So it's not...
Right.
you know, him knowing is not affecting it because he's not in time.
Right. So that's one of the approaches that they give, just to like help us, you know, to sort of speak, answer that Rambam in the fifth paragraph of Elishua. Like, so what is it? So again, right, we're bound by time. We operate within time. Hashem was outside of time and outside of space and outside of everything. Is able to have an idea that doesn't contradict the Bechira. So for sure, that, you know, but it still leaves us wondering, you know, how to reconcile the two in a deeper way. Okay, so this is what the Kedushas Levi says. So really everything is good. So why do we get a glimpse of the Mikdash on Shabbos Chazon? So the bottom paragraph on page Resh Mem Hei. Have a chidish lanu yisodi kari v'chal gadol b'havana sachorban. V'lefi pshuto kol siba sachorban hirak v'glal chata'enu. So we think the Pashup Shad is we messed up. And this, not we think, this is the Pashup Shad. The Pashup Shad is we messed up. Hashem gave us a beautiful gift. He gave us the suit. He said, don't rip your pants. We went around, we ripped our pants. Right? Ba'ez Rishon, we ripped our pants with the Vodazar, Gidar Ayes, and Shvichas Damim. Ba'ez Sheni, ripped our pants with Sinas Chinam. We ripped our pants. So we think, okay, we need to do tshuva. This is Bidiyavet that we ended up in Galus. That's true on one level. But on a deeper level, Umashmeinu b'diyaserim is a yishkam. The Berdishev is telling us there's a deeper dimension, which is what? Sheachorban bal lichatchila kadei lahalas es Yisrael madriga el yoni yoser. That Hashem, again, who is sitting outside of time and controlling and allowing us to mature and to go through various gulgulim of ourselves within history, that what? Sheabdeis mikdashinu b'yaser se'ez v'yaseros. That we should be able to have a base of mikdash that is a much greater base of mikdash. And he quotes here an interesting lashon from the Zohar. The Zohar says, "The base hamikdash harishon v'asheni hayu binyana debar nash v'ayachaser b'shleimusa." The first and second base of mikdash were built by man, and therefore, what anything man builds is imperfect. V'alkein huchirachu leicharev kadei shesof sof yisbi yisol lebase of mikdash shlishi shehu binyan nitzli lioso binyana dekutcha brichu. And the third Beis HaMikdash, which is going to be built by Hashem, is going to be the perfect Beis HaMikdash, which will last forever. Now, of course, that touches on a big machlokas we've shown him. Who's going to build the third Beis HaMikdash? Rashi, Tosfos, and Maseches, Sukkah, many different opinions, and midway shitas. Is it built by man? Is it built by Hashem? Is it going to fall out of the Shemayim? Are we going to build it? Is it going to fall out of the Shemayim, and then we're going to touch it up, like the Maharal Diskin and others explained? Right, but the Zohar is saying, the third Beis HaMikdash, because it's going to be built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan, so therefore the third Beis HaMikdash is going to last forever. Now I want to just point out, again, on this point, that he's telling us that really, in a certain sense, the Chorban was a big bracha. So I want to just share with you a line that the Apter of the Ohev Yisrael, brings in a tiny paragraph that he has for Shabbos Chazon. It's an astounding thing. Listen to what he writes. The Apter of the Ohev Yisrael says, I was asked one time to explain the following medrash. Now again, exactly where this medrash appears in rabbinic literature is a good question. But the medrash apparently says, Lo hayu yom moed liYisrael, there is no holiday as great for the Jewish people, ki yom shenechrav beis hamikdash. The greatest holiday was Chorban beis hamikdash. Adkam. Vehu pela. And this medrash is a wonder. Obviously so. Now again, is it saying that the date of the Chorban is the best date? That makes it a little easier to understand because Medrash and Eicha says that that Menachem, the Mashiach, is going to be born on Tisha B'Av. So the same day that was the greatest Chorban could also, in the future, become the greatest Moed. But it sounds almost like it's saying that the Chorban itself, that actual day was, you know, if we had the right perspective, we'd stand around saying, wow, what a great thing. Look at the Beis HaMikdash burning, you know? I saw a mashal this week. I'll save it. If we need a petition, I'll save the petition. Ooh. I'll save it. Yeah? So what do you mean this is the great something I'm saying, we're not ready to, let's still hope that we don't have to do this year. That one.
Rabbi Akiva was walking.
Okay, Rabbi Akiva sees a fire. Right, Rabbi Akiva sees that the thing that's making everyone break down, you know, with bitter tears, and Rabbi Akiva is laughing his head off, right? 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 There's a certain Tov, right, there's a certain Tov. But to call it a Moed, you know, to call it a Moed, we're going to celebrate it. Again, we're going, Karalai Moed, it says in Eicha, right? That it's going to be a Moed. But it sounds like it's saying that as the Mikdash was falling, if we had the right perspective, we'd say, wow, what a great thing.
Why
I mean, part of the reason, right, that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was so that we wouldn't be destroyed, right? Really, Beis HaMikdash is
fine. The house. Good. So you have that Maimer Chazal that Tosfos brings, right? That there was a tremendous Simcha. Hashem was on the verge of, appropriately so, destroying Klal Yisrael. And how lucky we were that HaKadosh Baruch Hu poured out His wrath on Eitzim Va'avonim instead of pouring His wrath out on Klal Yisrael. So that was a big bracha. So that's one way to explain it. This was the fact that Hashem destroyed the Mikdash showed that there's one thing that is truly indestructible, and that's Hashem's commitment to Klal Yisrael. That's one way to explain it. Another way to explain it is like the Berditchevers say, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tore down Bayis Sheni, right, to build Bayis Shlishi. And there really is a certain simcha, because until we get rid of Bayis Sheni, we're kind of stuck with this Bidyavid track, and we can't get to the Binyan the Kuchabrichu, we're stuck on the Binyan the Barnash, and that holds us back. Last year, Tisha B'Av, I wanted to suggest that maybe, again, it's a little radical, but we really know that the original plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that there wasn't going to be a building at all. Right? Like the Al-Sheikh brings, the Maimar Chazal, B'Shachati B'Socham, it doesn't say, I want to dwell within it. It says, I want to dwell B'Socham within them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants to dwell within us, within Klal Yisrael, that every person in every Jewish home, like the Gemara in Sotah says, should be a Beis HaMikdash. So the Simcha of tearing down the building, and again, this requires more explanation, I'm sorry to say it, but the simcha of tearing down the building is that Hashem is no longer boxed into a building. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to be everywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to fill all of reality, and we don't corner Hashem and say, you know, Hashem can be found in a Beis Medrash. Hashem can be found in Shul. Right? But when I'm on a business trip, or when I'm on vacation with my family, when I'm here or there, right? That's, you know, that's like space away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Outside of Hashem's jurisdiction.
Right, outside of Hashem's jurisdiction. So getting Hashem out of that building is really a simcha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he wanted originally. It reopens the possibility of a Shachanti B'Socha. I think that's a chashuv thing to think about during these days also. Okay, let's turn to the next part. He concludes this part on Reish Mem-Vav at the top. So we're going to finish up in the next 10 minutes. But he finishes this part. He quotes, he says, everything that the Berditchever just told us is really a medrash, a Yalkut Shimoni in Yirmiyahu, where the Yalkut Shimoni says an astounding thing. It says, take a look, the Ayin Yalkut, Reish Yirmiyahu. Everyone see where we are at the top of page Reish Mem-Vav? The Pasuk says, Ola Aryeh, the Hechavis Ariel. A lion came up and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Almenas sheyavo Aryeh v'yivne Ariel. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by a lion, right? So that a lion should almenas on condition, so that a lion will rise up and build the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Lubav Trevi, that's exactly what the Berditchever just told us. What do you mean almenas? Bayis Sheni was torn down almenas to build Bayis Shlishi. So he says yes, that's exactly what it was. I thought Bayis Sheni fell because we were bad Jews and we did a lot of averas and we need to fix that. Also true, but there was a certain original plan that Bayis Sheni was not meant to last forever. Hareisha kol inyan chorban abayis milechatchila hayirak amanas shekodesh baruch hu yivnes abayis hashlishi. By the way, this also connects to the idea that the Mishkan was never destroyed. Now again, we're going to touch on something which is a little bit of a theological bombshell, right? But just to put it out there, we've all heard the idea that had Moshe not messed up, right, in Parshas Chukas or at the Meragim, whatever, wherever we want to pin the chet on Moshe, and Moshe went into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe would have built Bayis Shlishi, and then it would have lasted forever. There never would have been a Chorban. So we just said, if Hashem built it, it lasts forever. If Moshe built it, it lasts forever. How does that work? The measures that I'm thinking of that gets a little frightening in terms of like our our Christian friends and the way that they practice their religion, right? The Medrash says on the pasuk describing Moshe as an Ish Elokim, the Medrash says Moshe milamata Moshe is an Ish, milamali is Elokim. I mean, the lower half of Moshe he's a human, the upper half he is godly. Right? Not every Jew is godly, if understood properly. But Moshe, we know from the Gemara in Sotah, Moshe's Mishkan also wasn't destroyed. I mean, we have basis that things that Moshe builds don't get destroyed. Why is that? What's that about? So I brought along the Sefer Tiferes Yosef, which is a collection from Yosef Engels, many, many sermons. Yosef Engels is a genius of a Polish Gaon. And And he writes a very interesting thing in the Gilyone HaShas. The Gilyone HaShas is some of his notes on Shas. And Sota Daf Tesam Aleph, they quote it here. I don't own the Gilyone HaShas, but they quote it here. It says that we know the things that Moshe and David Melech built somehow had this ability to last forever. David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. Moshe Rabbeinu, so we forget sometimes, we all know the Gemara, Yaakov Avinu Lo Mes, right? The Gemara talks about the possibility that Yaakov never died, even though he really did die, but he lives on, the Gemara in Tanis. The Gemara also says Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Mes, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, but we don't really know where he's buried. You can't go to his Matzeva. So listen to what Rav Yosef Engel writes. Hatam de b'nei adam lemisa omdim ve'enam kayamim. The reason that when a person creates something, it doesn't last, the same way the person doesn't last. Al kein gam hanas al yadam ein lo kiyum. The same way every human being, the fate of man is to die. So too, by definition, the handiwork, the byproduct of a limited human being, also has to be limited. Because lo zoch leskayim rak hanas al yadei Moshe v'David. But things that were built by Moshe and David have a unique ability to last. Why? Da Moshe never, because of Moshe it says in Sotah Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Lo Meis Moshe. And about David it says in Rosh Hashanah Chaf Hei, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. So therefore we have, this explains that notion that had Moshe gone to Eretz Yisrael and built by a Shlishi, then it would have lasted forever. Okay, again, why Moshe has such a koach, he's bigger than Misa itself. Okay, but we have the Zohar. If we're uncomfortable with the thought of Moshe being so godly, that Moshe being the Isha Elokim is a hard concept to understand. So we have this idea from the Zohar, that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to build by a Shlishi, and this is part of the plan. Good. So now, in conclusion, for the last 5 minutes, I want to look at where it says Oz Beis. Because now here's where he really, after learning together for 35 minutes, now we really get to the awesome analysis of the Lav Trevi of the Moshe. Okay? Here's the question. We get the mashal. We got the idea before we even heard the mashal of the bridishim, the suits. But he says, if you want to give the mashal and compare the child who messes up to the Beis HaMikdash, so why give a mashal about clothing? Why not give a mashal about houses? Why not give a mashal of a parent who builds a child a house? Right? And the child is irresponsible, and one day he's playing with matches and burns down the house. And the parent builds another house for the child. And he leaves the water running and he floods it and ruins the place. It has to be torn down. Right? And then the parents build a third house and they say, when you're ready, you'll be zocha to have the third house when you're responsible enough to be your own landlord. Why give a mashal of clothing? Look what he writes. Lichora, right after it was Beis. Lichora yesh la'ayin lama hevi mashal lebeis hamikdash mi levush v'lo mi bayis. Ubiprasha etzim gedra halavush hudavar arai. Clothing is constantly changing. Right? A house is supposed to be a diras kaval, the shechina. There's supposed to be a sense of permanence. An oel is temporary. A bias, by definition, the word bias means a permanent structure. So if the whole point is that we're trying to get to the bias shlishi, which is going to be a permanent structure, so give a mashal of three houses. No? The Baal Shem says that a tzaddik like the Berditchever doesn't give an example that can't be analyzed in a way that's meant to be understood again with these types of diukim. So the Baal Shem says, here's the answer. V'yesh levar, right, next paragraph. V'yesh levar is al pi echad havdelim ben bias and levush. What's the difference between bias and levush? And this again, the Baal Shem, with his unbelievable ability, points out something so obvious to us. But it just changes the way we think. It's such an obvious point. Look what he says. Right now we're all sitting, right, in the same house, in the same room. Yeah? So when Yitzi and Tari were making the house, so they decided what they want the room to look like. But even so, the room wasn't designed. There's obviously an element of precision in picking out the colors and picking out the trimmings and picking out how many windows to have. Right? But the room wasn't designed to be a precise fit for a particular person. The dimensions of the room are not modeled after any one particular individual or any group of individuals. If we would have had 5 people in the room tonight, it would work. We have 20 people in the room tonight also, we're seated comfortably. It works. So a bias is not precisely measured the same way that a garment is. In terms of clothing, a person who wears a certain size won't fit into a different size. So he says, look, the midas halavush tzarech lomar bidyuk, or tzarech liyos bidyuk, lefi midas ha'adam, hameluvash rab. A garment has to fit very precisely. Masha'in ken godol habayis eino nimdod klal lefi midas ha'adam hadar ba'habayis. A room, a house, doesn't have to fit as precisely. V'zeo atam shebeis hamikdash nimshal levush.
So now we understand, why did the Berditchever say, why give this mashal, compare it to a garment? In what way is the Beis HaMikdash, even with its miraculous abilities to constantly expand and contract, and all of Eretz Yisrael has this kolach, right? It's Eretz HaTzvi, it can grow, it can stretch. Odim Tzvufim, they can stand precisely in the Beis HaMikdash, Mishtachim Ravachim, and when they bow down, it expands, there's plenty of room. So why is it that the Beis HaMikdash, on the one hand, is so big, so expansive, and yet it fits almost each person like a precise garment, like a custom-made suit? He says the answer is, the reason is, Shehu kamo levush la'ashchina. Dine Beis HaMikdash hu makum diras ha'shchina. How does the Shechina fit within any environment? In other words, how does Hashem's presence fill any place? Is Hashem found more in a shul than in a baseball stadium? And the answer is no. Hashem's Shechina, right, in the language of Hasidus, the Orient Sof, the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fills all of reality. Or say it even better, the light of Hashem is all reality. My left arm, right, is sounds very out there, right, but my left arm is HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing himself, through many tzimtzumim, to express himself as Moshe Tzvi's left arm. And that's true about everything that we encounter in this world. He quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Right? It's a bias la'Hashem. It's a bias la'Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash is a bias la'Hashem, which means it's filled with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The way that my neshama fills the entire body, like the Gemara says in Brachos. Aval ein zos rak ba'ofen she'ashchina shor b'chlalas habayis. It's not just that the Beis Hashem, the bias of Hashem, is that Hashem is in the Beis HaMikdash in a general sense. Hashem is in the Beis HaMikdash in a very precise sense. Hayu she'yesh rak kedusha klalas. Don't say that Hashem is just there b'chlal. You come to the Beis HaMikdash and you're generally in the presence of God, more so than in your own home or again at a baseball stadium. Eliyish kama dargos b'kedusha HaMikdash. There's different levels of kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash. He's adding to the question now. Hashem fills everything, and yet there's still a concept of a heichal and a kodesh kadashim and a ezras nashim and harabayis, and there's different levels, like the Mishnah in Kalim says. There's different levels of Kedusha. So how does it work? V'chol prate amidos ha-gashmias, so kol echad v'echad, v'chalke ha-bayis, mat'imim heim al-ofen u-madregas ha-kedusha ha-pratis ha-shor ha-bakam zeh-shul-mikdash. And yet, there seems to be that there should be some degree of more presence of Hashem, less presence of Hashem, in accordance with the reality of that spot within the Beis HaMikdash. So how does it work? Right? And what's the message for us? So he says in conclusion, he says, "V'nimsa shah mikdash mechuvan b'chol pratov ha-gashmim l'prati ha-kedushos ha-shochnos bo." The mikdash, the gashmi expression of the mikdash, corresponds to its ruchni counterpart. And therefore, it's like a garment that's custom made. Each part of the Beis HaMikdash is custom made for that section. So what? So he says, and this is the punchline, the last two paragraphs, "V'nei binyan Beis HaMikdash toli b'avodis b'nei Yisrael." Going back now to the mashal. Right? When are we going to be zochet to bayis shlishi? When we act in a way that shows that we're worthy of bayis shlishi. Right? K'muvan ha-mashal, like we explained, k'tochan ha-mashal, like it was explained in the mashal. Che'nitzchi as the Beis HaMikdash ha-shlishi tliya v'kach sh'avodas b'nei Yisrael yibahofen shol yachzru l'sura. When we can be trusted 100%, not 90%, it can't be a 90% fit. The permanence of bayis shlishi demands a certain absolute commitment on our part. That when we're permanently committed to Hashem, that we're not going to rip the suit again, then Hashem can give us the perfect Beis HaMikdash with its perfect measurements. Dekasher kedushas hashchina shor b'Yisrael kedubay. So what does that mean? What does it mean, Ben Adam last? Meaning, what are we actually doing now? And this is the punchline. When the Shechina fits into our life as naturally, as perfectly, as precisely measured as a person in a custom-made suit, right? When you can wear your Yiddishkeit and it looks natural, that's a sign that we're ready for bayis shlishi. If you come to davening, right, and you're still a little like fidgety because davening's taking too long, and the Shem says, "What? Davening's taking too long? Your bother the chazan is like saying the word slowly to chazar sashatz. Don't you know the Arizal says chazar sashatz is greater than your private shmon esrei? Don't you listen to the word? Don't you realize the chazan is davening rifeinu akadosh baruch hu help people who are sick get better? So where are you rushing? You can't give an extra minute and a half? Your suit's too big. It doesn't fit. If it's not a natural fit, Hashem says, I can't get us to that world of perfection till you wear your Yiddishkeit perfectly. That your ability to interact with your fellow Jews is a perfect fit. And your ability to interact with tefillah and Torah and Gemilas Chasadim is a perfect fit. That nothing about Judaism, it looks silly on you. Or is too tight. Right? It makes you feel too trapped, as if Hashem is punishing you by giving you too many mitzvahs. When the suit fits just right, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll give you Bayis Shlishi. Go to the last page. Turn over to the other side of the page. Okay, last paragraph. Ve'heichi aderech shavodas Hashem tiyachukuka ba'odem ba'ofen shol yachzer l'suro elenas aslo kamot teva. So when will it be that what? That the suit, right? That the avodas Hashem will be etched onto a person permanently. Right? That the suit will be tattooed onto my body and I'll be able to wear it with a great naturalness. Hare lezeh ein maspik shiyah adam maser v'nasan rak b'chol luso l'avodas Hashem. The same way, the Lach Rebbe is saying, the same way the Beis Hamikdash was a bias, but it was a bias for each part, was filled perfectly with the right amount of Hashras, Hashchin, and Kedusha, and it filled perfectly. So too, when you relate to your Avodas Hashem, not in this broad general stroke, I'm a Jew, and I'm Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and I'm Orthodox, and I daven, and I learn, right? But until I approach the details of Yiddishkeit with a precision, when I'm able to wear my Yiddishkeit very, very precisely, that again, all the aspects of my life, when my mind is properly aligned with Torah thoughts, and my midas ha'ava is connected to Avas Hashem and Avas Yisrael, and not Avas Tanuge Olam Hazeh, he says, and when my yira, my heart can pound as quickly on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as it can when I see those flashing lights in my rearview mirror, yeah, and I'm about to get pulled over. V'chein b'shar patei kochos nafsha, ashein shum pina b'nafsha, till every corner of my existence is entirely filled with the Shechina. That's when Hashem will say that I can trust you and you're ready for Bayis Shlishi. So that's the chazon that, of course, we see most prominently on that Shabbos right before Tisha B'Av. But really, I think this is the avodah of the whole 3 weeks. To realize that the Mikdash is sitting there and it's waiting for us. That it's a bias that has a permanence. And until we can show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're permanently committed, that we're not going to have so many aliyos and yiridos, but we make an absolute commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're in it, you know, to stay, and we allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fill every corner, every pina of our existence, of our Avodas Hashem, like that precise fitting garment, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be confident enough, kiviyachol, to give us the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, we should be zocher. We should be zocher. We should be zocher.
Amen.
Amen.